Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
This is Mike Evans, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the epic Roster Watch podcast brought to you by RosterWatch.com. I'm Alex Dunlap here with Cody Carpentier as we have training camp intel for you guys. As you know, we've started the RosterWatch.com training camp tour. That's thanks to our pro members at RosterWatch.com. And we have now been to Rams, Raiders, Bears, Cowboys, Giants,
Patriots.
And there's probably even more. Like, you're about to get out to Cody and start going. So a bunch of training camp intel to go to as we are continuing to maniacally update the ultimate draft cheat sheets over at rosterwatch.com. I wanted to just say, so a PPR I updated today to version 5.0. I wanted to run through just a quick mock and see how that thing's going. It's running really well. I love the teams that it's cranking out. I wanted to kind of show you one real quick before we start, but before we get to that, another quick announcement. We're going to have shows starting on this Thursday, with Lisa Ann from the old Lisa Ann Does Fantasy Show, our great friend. It's called the Lisa Ann Fantasy Draft Show with Roster Watch. We're going to have a series of these throughout the course of draft season. So this Thursday and then every Friday after that, we're going to be getting you ready for your fantasy drafts with Lisa Ann. She's going to be simulcasting it through her channels as well. So it's going to be awesome to get to work with her and sort of hear her thoughts. Cody, Trashman, and I, Byron, we're all going to be on those shows. So make sure that you tune in for those. So just some kind of pre-weekend strategy sessions before we get into the weekend and do have all the radio stuff to do. We'll also put those up on those will be on our YouTube feed, right, Cody, and our podcast feed as well. So if you're listening there, you'll be able to see them there. But it's a fun initiative. We're certainly looking very much forward to it. Let's do a quick mock. I see Minion Hunter in the chat. So good to see you, brother. If you guys could please remember to like the show, subscribe to the channel, we would certainly appreciate that. Let's do a quick mock here with PPR version 5.0. So this one, it gave me the 111. This looks like it's going to be one quarterback, two running backs, two wide receivers, one tight end, two flex, one defense, one kicker, six bench spots. And it gave us the 111. This draft went Christian McCaffrey, CeeDee Lamb, Breece Hall, Tyreek Hill, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Bijan Robinson, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, Jonathan Taylor, and A.J. Brown. It's telling us we need to take Jahmyr Gibbs at the 111. So I love that. We love taking our Lions. With the 202, it tells us we don't have a choice here. We have to take Garrett Wilson. So that's where we go. 311. This is a little bit of an interesting one, Cody. Brandon Ayuk. I wonder, hopefully he doesn't get traded. I think he's in about his best spot that he can be in right now. But
A lot of fake rumors out there right now.
Yeah. We haven't really updated for that, but it says we have to take Ayuk here at the 311. So starting out with Garrett Wilson, Brandon Ayuk, I got to like that start. At the 402, Alvin Kamara is the pick. So we start out Gibbs, Kamara, two very similar prototypes of running back. And with Kendre Miller doing what he's doing, a little bit of a troublesome feeling there for them. Kamara keeps on kind of creeping up the boards here. Malik Nabers is who we take at the 511. Love getting him. And it's going to have us take Tank Dell. So we start out four wide receivers. I know the cheat sheet will pull through, though, with some balance here soon enough, and it certainly does. In PPR, let's get Austin Eckler on board as our first bench player. We'll get Nick Chubb on board at the 802.
It's coming together.
Now we have – yeah, this is a good team. Xavier Worthy at the 9-11. The cheat sheet's not giving me many choices here. This should be some foreshadowing here that we have a tie between Rico Dowdle, of all people, and Jameson Williams. We have some intel from Byron's eyeballs at Dallas camp that has gotten us interested in this 10th, 11th round, taking Rico Dowdle. So we're going to go ahead and take him, I think, over Jameson Williams, because we started out a little bit. Yeah, we started a little bit wide receiver heavy. When I have a choice, I always lean towards balance. Okay, now we're to this spot where we have a three-way choice here that's built in between Jalen Wright, the rookie running back for the Dolphins, Brandon Cooks, and Jaden Daniels. It's my experience that usually through these last three rounds, like 11, 12, 13, 14, a guy like Wright and a guy like Daniels sometimes fall. I'm going to take Brandon Cooks, and we're going to explain why we're kind of in on Dowdle and Cooks based on Byron's time at camp so far. And that's just exactly what's happened. Should I take Wright right here and then just hope Daniels falls? And if I don't get Daniels, I can still take Tua or Jared Goff or something like that? Or would you take Dan?
This is the
I'm fine either way.
Well, the thing is, if you miss on Wright, you still got Ray Davis. So I would take Daniels.
All right. I'm not sure that, but look, we already have five running backs on this roster. If we miss out on Wright and Davis, it'll be fine, right? So, all right, let's take Jaden Daniels, nuclear upside from him, and that'll give us this extra one where, yeah, I mean, do you want to just go with the double quarterback here, the double rookie quarterback, Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams?
I do. I like that. You're not going to catch an argument from me. I like the ADPs for Caleb and Jaden in half and standard are back to back. And looks like in PPR, there are maybe a couple spots further apart. But I mean, you could make a good case for having Caleb ahead of Jaden. And I think that may be right. But both of these guys in round 12 and 13 is a pretty sick value.
At the 1402, we just have to reach one row on the cheat sheet. That's allowed if you have to reach one row just to fill out your last position. And to do so, we'll take Pat Freiermuth. So here's that team. Jaden Daniels. This is Jaden Daniels. The starters, Jaden Daniels, Jahmyr Gibbs, Alvin Kamara, Garrett Wilson, Brandon Ayuk, Pat Freiermuth, Malik Nabers, Tank Dell. The bench, I feel like, is extremely dirty and high upside. Some kind of cog pieces here that aren't as sexy, and Austin Eckler and Nick Chubb, although Nick Chubb could be really sexy if he comes into the year fully healthy and not on PUP, which if you look at the contract details that he has, as far as his incentives, he stands to gain about $7 million by not starting out the year on PUP. And I don't think the Rosenhaus brothers negotiated that deal without knowing that he was going to be available. Xavier Worthy, Rico Dowdle, Brandon Cooks, and then Caleb Williams, of course, in case Jaden Daniels is slow out of the gate. We know that Caleb Williams on the roster watch on the strength of schedule tool has the best strength of schedule of any quarterback in fantasy next season and a lot of good weapons. I think the simulator is going to give me a good draft here. I'm going to auto draft the kicker and the defense. If a B+, get out of here. What does it take to get an A+ out of this thing?
We have one question. We're live on Instagram for the first time ever, I believe, today over on the Roster Watch Instagram right now. We do have a question over here. I figured it'd be a good one to just bring up because of how that draft kind of unfolded and where we got guys at. G Wills 1996 on Instagram said, for your cheat sheets, do you typically see QBs and tight ends going at the end?
Yes.
How would you best explain that, though? Because it's not always like that. Like, we will have some Richardson. We'll get some King, especially.
Yeah, some Kyler. These cheat sheets right now are getting very little Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, those types of pillars. Anthony Richardson's been a feature on them. Kyler Murray, you get a good amount of him. You get a good amount of Jordan Love. These are guys you can get. Like, if Kyler Murray falls to the 10th round, Jordan Love sometimes falls to the 11th round and stuff. And you just saw, like, we took Daniels and we took Williams hoping for the upside. But if you were a little bit goosey and felt weird about that, you could, like – the guys that are available still after them are, you know, it's like Jared Goff and it's Tua and all the rest of these players. So it's just with the opportunity cost, those guys fall. As far as the tight ends, a lot of Dalton Kincaid, a lot of Kyle Pitts. If it falls a little bit farther than that, there's an escape hatch in PPR built in for David Njoku. And then if you have to wait till the very end like that, there are
Luke Musgrave.
Yeah, like Freiermuth, I feel like, with the connection they're talking about that he's had. Now, does a connection with Russell Wilson mean anything right now? that's kind of interesting. But there's also, you know, there's always a, you know, Musgrave or a Cole Kmet, or if things get absolutely terrible, Noah Fant is just a sleeper tight end that we really like. But yeah, we're not gonna pass up on some of the really, really explosive options at the other positions to get these onesie positions if they don't fall to us at value. And ultimately, that's what the cheat sheet is. It's just leverage versus ADP and ensuring that you make the correct pick at every turn. So you can find that at rosterwatch.com, of course. Just go download it. It gets updated basically every day. Superflex still needs an update post weekend. I'm working on that right now. And Cody and I are also working on the offensive line rankings. And so that should be up at least by the weekend. So a lot going on at Roster Watch. Cody, do you want to go through these teams one by one?
We got six teams to get through. We got to get cooking on these guys.
All right. So why don't you throw them out and we'll riff on these.
You want to win your fantasy draft? No, I mean, like, really. Do you really, really, really want to win your fantasy draft? Because you can win your fantasy draft with the Roster Watch Ultimate Draft Cheat Sheet available at rosterwatch.com. It's the revolutionary cheat sheet that changed fantasy football forever, and it's the only tool you'll need this draft season. You've heard Roster Watch live on SiriusXM Radio here on the podcasts from all the NFL training camps. Now, all you have to do is follow the three simple rules at the top of the sheet of paper using the Roster Watch cheat sheet. That's it. Three rules. An extra quality draft is guaranteed if you follow the three simple rules. Guys, it couldn't be easier. The Roster Watch Ultimate Draft Cheat Sheet. You can't afford to draft without it. It's available now and only at rosterwatch.com.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today. If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to countrymd.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's countrymd.com/energy.
Let's start with maybe the most recent. That was yesterday, Dallas Cowboys camp, Byron Lambert, who's – I think he went back to Cowboys camp today. But one of our biggest questions, I think, throughout the offseason was, what's this running back room going to look like in Dallas now that they brought Zeke back? And also, is there a number two in Dallas, you know, on the side of CeeDee Lamb? I know Brandon Cooks is still there, and Jake Ferguson was the only other player that had over 100 targets in that offense. And I think we got some good notes there. And that caused us, like you saw in that mock draft we just ran, to get Rico Dowdle. I'm one that was pretty off, hands off of this entire backfield. And I found myself adjusting to Rico Dowdle a little bit. Would you say, Alex, you've kind of pivoted the Zeke thought towards Rico now?
Yeah, man. Here's the thought from Byron. He says he don't like, after being at camp, he doesn't want Zeke. And yeah. There've been varying reports about who the lead back is, yada yada yada. Look, it's going to be a committee with these dudes, right? But he says that if it's a committee right now, based on what he's seen, and we still have a few more days there, but based on what he's seen, Rico Dowdle would be kind of the pseudo lead in it. And if that just got me interested in saying, like, all right, well, I'm going to X, and I'm going to look, type in Rico Dowdle, and I'm going to look for highlights. I'm going to look for, you know, like, how does he look, like, just on the juice meter, because I've seen how Zeke looks. And Rico Dowdle looks like he's got juice, man. And Byron says that he's the one to own. I've wanted a piece of this backfield because I feel like it's one that's been look, whenever there is uncertainty about something like this, people just aren't, they're just going to be hands off of the whole thing. You know what I mean? They're going to want to be hands off the whole thing. If we can find a way to just take a stake, and it's a low, low value kind of piece of draft capital to use a 10th or 11th round pick on a Rico Dowdle, there's very little opportunity cost. And this is an offense. I mean, they're going to go fast. They're going to score points. So, you know, if Dowdle looks like he's kind of the guy that Byron says, dude, he's the one that we need, like, that's what we're going to try getting that guy, because of the types of players that go around him. And it's really just I don't even need to get into the whole infrastructure of the sheet, but it gives us a good choice there between Jamison Williams and him. To where your roster, if you're skewing a little bit wide receiver heavy, you can take a Rico Dowdle. If you're skewing a little bit running back heavy in a lot of these drafts, you can just choose to go with Jamison Williams. And it won't always land like that, but that's sort of a built-in, another kind of built-in fire hatch in the cheat sheet, which is just filled with them all over the place. The other big takeaway was, this is what Byron was most blatant about. He said that if we don't have Brandon Cooks, if Brandon Cooks is available with one of the last picks in your draft, he said it's just unacceptable not to have him, not to just tell us to go get him. He says that Brandon Cooks is just so much more involved than he had imagined. I've heard similar things. Once you kind of look into it, we were like, hey, was somebody else going to step up as a number two? Like, he wasn't that good last year. And then you look at it, you're like, man, last three games of last season, he had 8 targets in each of those games. Had a good run in there. So I think that Cooks, if he's truly the undisputed number two weapon, and the, like Byron saying, the vertical threat and all this stuff.
Yeah.
He said not having him as somebody that a bunch of our users get would be completely unacceptable. He just didn't mince words about it at all. So that's why we've gotten Cooks kind of in that Josh Palmer-ish territory as a, you know, wide receiver 6, wide receiver 5, wide receiver 6 candidate to take at the very end.
The Cooks thing's interesting because last year, like, he just quietly had 650 yards. He had 8 touchdowns. It's like, going in, what I wanted to hear from Byron, honestly, was something along the lines of Jalen Tolbert's pretty clear cut, like the next Michael Gallup. We've heard some stuff about Jalen Brooks. You know, we all love Ryan Flournoy from Southeast Missouri State, the rookie, but he's at the Senior Bowl. But, like, we knew that probably wasn't going to happen yet. And it was Cooks, who's 30, going to turn 31 next month, that continues this trek of now going into his, I think it's 10th or 11th season in the NFL. Every single year he's been over 500 yards, the majority of them north of 80 targets. So when you're talking about this late round area and where I put him right now in the standard half cheat sheet, when I updated it last night, was right in that Curtis Samuel, Josh Downs area. And I was getting a decent amount of Curtis Samuel, not too much. And I was getting a decent amount of Josh Downs, but not too much. And I think I feel better about the Brandon Cooks piece here being the number two receiving option in that offense than Downs being the number two in Indianapolis.
If he is,
I guess he probably is.
Yeah,
it's if, right? It's a hypothetical. If Cooks is that guy, but
I think it's Downs is that guy, right?
You think Downs is that guy too?
Well, no, I'm saying if that, I mean, we don't know for sure that Downs is the number two there. I think he is. Yeah, I think he is.
We've heard that there's like an unspoken connection between Downs and Richardson, but we haven't really like seen it on the scale that we've seen Brandon Cooks already connect with Dak Prescott on a consistent manner. And of course, health is also always a thing when you're talking about a 5'8", 160-pound receiver next to Richardson, who only played four games himself. So it's like there's a lot more volatility in the Indianapolis offense than it seems like there is even with Cooks. As he ages, yes, he has the downfield ability, but he's still an NFL receiver in his 10th year. He can still put routes on guys, and he's still going to be the one drawing single coverage opposite of CeeDee Lamb.
Who's up next?
Let's go to the Raiders.
My big takeaway from this is that Byron says that this offense stinks. He's not sure about the offensive line. He doesn't even know who the quarterback's going to be. I'm not sure they know who the quarterback is going to be. So he'll be back at practice again tomorrow. The practice he was at on Sunday was Davante Adams less. He's having a baby, was a baby daughter or something like this. He had to be there for that. So congratulations to him and his wife, I guess. Look, man, he said that he doesn't think this football team is going to be in position to be front running, and therefore he's worried about Zamir White. He says if there's going to be a catch-up mode player, maybe for PPR only, you can look at Dylan Lauby, who he said looks to him like a Danny Woodhead. I mean, and to me, I would say that's perfectly reasonable. I've watched a lot of Dylan Lauby this offseason. I've gotten to talk to him and interact with him. I think a guy like Woodhead is a perfectly good comparison for him. One of only three running backs at the combine this year that they had workout and wide receiver drills. Jim Nagy said at the Senior Bowl that Dylan Lauby was not just the best receiving back there, but the best receiver in Mobile, the best receiver of the football in Mobile. So he brings that element. So I've been kind of squeezing him in as a super late, 14th, 15th round pick in season long PPR managed leagues. I'm not as sure about you, Cody. Half PPR and standard, he doesn't seem like quite the asset.
No, Lauby's one, like there's a big area towards the end of drafts with running backs, in the conversation, like Antonio Gibson in New England, Tank Bigsby, Bucky Irving, and Kimani Vidal, like these names that were generally not even on. We're more so below the consensus on the majority of these guys. And Lauby's one I want to be ahead on. But as you mentioned, like this team put their depth chart in 12 personnel. They showed it with two receivers. They showed it with Mayer and Bowers on it. We know they're going to run the football. And in standard and a half, I need those carries more than I just need the PPR action, which I think, like you mentioned, Lauby's going to be pretty much satellite back PPR centric. And that's where the Woodhead, the Eckler, the New Hampshire McCaffrey stuff comes from is the receiving factor. And in standard and half, it's a lot harder for that to pay off than it is for me to be like, yeah, give me an A.J. Dillon or a Braylon Allen. Like these big donks that we think could potentially have an opportunity to push 18, 20 carries if an injury were to happen. Whereas Lauby, it's like if something happens to Zamir White, it's Madison that's going to get the carries, not Lauby.
Right.
So
there's also some built-in risk with Lauby, like the obvious, the draft capital risks. And there was this stuff like Vic Tafer was saying, back in OTAs, he's not sure he's going to make the, he's not sure he's not going to end up on the practice squad or something like that. It seems like that's kind of been squashed, but that was kind of the narrative around him. So, I wouldn't say it's a home run late round pick, but what is a home run 14th or 15th round pick? This is the kind of guy who we've identified the possible trend of how things are going to go as far as these game scripts. And the guy we've identified as somebody that could benefit from those would be Dylan Lauby. And if things were to roll out with the way that we see them as of today, What is the next one?
Let's hit these two Northeast teams quick because they're equally as bad as the Raiders. It feels like Patriots first, and let's go to the Giants.
Hey there, Roster Watch Nation. It's your Philly neighbor Trash Man, and Underdog Fantasy is the only place to get your NFL pick'em action. It couldn't be easier. Just look at Underdog's stat projections for NFL players and choose higher or lower. Do you think Tyreek Hill is going to smash this week? Take the higher. Do you hate Saquon Barkley's matchup? Take the lower. And if you don't know what to choose, here's the good news. Roster Watch is here for you in 2024. We have an all-new weekly Underdog Pick'em show for each slate of the season starting in week one. It's time for Roster Watch Nation to dominate in the Pick'em streets. Go to UnderdogFantasy.com and sign up using promo code ROSTER to claim your special pick plus first-time deposit offer of up to $250 in bonus cash. And remember, you have to use the promo code ROSTER.
Okay, so Can't Miss Mitch was spent a couple days with each of these. He's just off the whole thing, and I'm not going to get into his take on Drake May. This is a Patriots homer that says, "Man, I don't think Drake May's that good. I can't draft in, you know." He's like, "I like Jalen Polk. I think he looks like a good player." He's like, "I can't draft any of the maybe DeMario Douglas is one of these guys that I could draft." He said that the focal point of the offense is going to be Ramondre Stevenson, and he didn't even remember seeing Antonio Gibson even make any plays.
That's we were pretty bullish on Zamir, and we heard the negativity around the camp and how that team looks. It's like I pulled back a little bit on Zamir, and we were already behind on Ramondre. I don't want to like overcorrect because I think we're under the same assumption, Alex. It's probably the same feel that the Raiders and Patriots are both both bottom 10 teams in football. And we're talking about running backs on offenses that, you know, we're looking for carries, we're looking for opportunities, we're looking for PPR action. Probably Ramondre ahead of Zamir, which is where he's at right now in the standard and half sheet. But they're really close. Should there be a bigger gap in favor of Ramondre? I mean, you could probably tell me about the PPR sheet. I know the standard and half, like I said, it's three players or two players between them. Should it potentially be wider in favor of Stevenson?
I mean, look, I'll tell you this. I fit Ramondre Stevenson in the PPR sheet above Najee Harris. And
I'm right there, right next to him.
And in doing so, I, one, go against all of my, you know, all of my priors, right? And all the rest of it. I trust Mitch. Mitch said, dude, they don't have anybody. They, like, based on what he's seeing, it's like this is a Ramondre, like receiving everything. They get the ball out to him on screens. Like he said, he's the center point. And with him, if Gibson's not in there to be this, you know, this just third down receiving maven and stuff like that, you have a back in Stevenson that, despite some of the, you know, some of the things I think about his profile athletically, like he does in theory represent somebody that's a little bit game script proof. And yes, they have the lowest average implied team total per game of any team this season. They're probably not going to be scoring a whole ton of points and stuff, but I do think that there's, you know, it's like, I can't say that, you know, I have similar worries about Najee Harris, Zamir White, all these guys, man. I got Ramondre up ahead of him. And even when I did get Ramondre Stevenson into that same tier, kind of with David Montgomery and PPR, who's super, super steady. Now, that is based on touchdowns, but he is a guy that just never gets you less than 10 points in PPR since he's been a Detroit Lion. I got him in 25 manual runs this morning. I got Ramondre like twice. So it's not still like we're getting a ton of him, even getting him up there.
And that's, you know what I mean? That feels aggressive. That feels like a good area.
Yeah, so that's kind of where we are as far as the Patriots. Do you want to talk about the Giants? It's kind of the same. It's kind of the same stuff. Like, what Mitch says is, he's like, dude, look, if another thing, in theory, Malik Nabers should get just the buckets of the targets, right? Just buckets and buckets and buckets of these things. Mitch said the only pushback he has is he thinks the offensive line stinks, and he thinks that Daniel Jones knows the offensive line stinks and he's not putting the ball into the exact right places and everything like that, I'm willing to take it on faith that if you get the ball near Malik Nabers, though, and you get him those targets, he's going to make plays. We've seen enough flashes in practice already. I'm not getting off Nabers because Mitch is worried about the Giants offensive line, but it is incumbent on us to let you know that he is. And it's your subscriptions that pay for us to go do this. So we have to let you know everything that we hear. And that's kind of what, that's kind of Mitch's take. And he spent three days there. And that was his constant kind of refrain was that, man, this offensive line, I worry about it. I worry about it.
Mike, I'm going to comp this season to a prior season, a 2015 season for a player that was his sophomore year. I would say a different level of talent, but he also came out in the league very hot with a quarterback that you could potentially classify in the same conversation as Daniel Jones. I'm going to go to Jacksonville 2015. Allen Robinson, sophomore year, 80 receptions on 151 targets. That's a 52%. That's a 52% catch rate, 48% incompletion rate, 1,400 yards, 14 touchdowns. Like, it can happen, even though the quarterback is really bad and reckless. But if he's willing to put that football up, which – we've seen clips over the past couple of days where Daniel Jones is willing to put that ball up and Malik Nabers is able to come down with it. He seems like he's turned a corner. Like, we already knew he was an alpha. We already knew he was a dog. But they had the Lions have been in town the last 2 days for joint practices. And I don't know if you saw it or not, Alex, but today one of the cornerbacks, I can't remember who it was, the corner was that kind of pushed at him or said something to him. And he walked and he went to run back to the neighbors, went to run back to the huddle. And he actually like threw a stiff arm in the face of Kirby Joseph. Full blown brawl breaks out at this Giants Lions camp. They come to defend Malik Nabers. Like, it just feels like this guy, I understand the bad offensive line. I understand the bad quarterback play. I understand this team's probably not going to be good, but here's the thing, Alex, I don't care. I don't care. This guy's going to be forced the football, whether it's 12 targets and he catches five, I'm going to bet my money on those five going for 80 plus yards and a couple touchdowns. But it's like, we knew what this guy was, right? Like, where, if I asked you this question, where is his ADP going to end up in maybe not 2 weeks, maybe 4 weeks, right as the season begins? Like, you think there's a chance Malik Nabers pushes up into that second round eventually?
No.
Too high?
Yeah, he won't, but that's good. I don't want him to. I don't want him to. I think that is I think where we're taking him right now, Cody, and we're getting him pretty consistently, usually is a, and thankfully, usually is a wide receiver three. I'd be comfortable with him as my wide receiver two. But yeah, where we're getting him right, I think that's kind of where he's going to kind of stay where we have him. I think that the rest of the industry is going to come to us, and it might not be as easy to get him as it is right now. Right.
Last one, then we got to talk about the Rams before we get out of here. At least we can keep the Bears for when Trash Man comes back.
Trash Man will come on the show Thursday and just give us the whole. I'm not even sure what he said. He's talking. What's he talking about? Travis Homer.
We'll let him.
What's wrong with Trash Man? Why do I want to hear? Was he really texting me about Travis Homer?
Trash Man actually just jumped in the Instagram live chat. I saw his name pop up. So we'll let him talk about the Travis Homers, Tyler Scotts and stuff like that when he comes back. But let's finish with the Rams. Blake Corum and Kyren Williams, the focal points here at the running back field. And then pre Puka Nacua injury was when Byron was there. Which was your bigger takeaway? What he said about Cup or what he said about Corum?
Well, I knew it about Corum. I wasn't sure that, Byron's like, dude, Cup's dominating targets. It's like Cooper Kupp. He's the alpha. He's dominating targets. And Byron, of course, he's out here doing this stuff. He's not testing cheat sheets maniacally like you and I are. He doesn't have this kind of just, man, it's like I've said on the Serious Show, dude, I go to sleep with these stupid simulations. Like, I close my eyes and I see them, right? It's like, yep, the stuff. And so the, he was just asking, he's like, how close are their ADPs? I'm like, well, they're like three and a half, four rounds apart. Usually three and a half, really. And he's like, well, I would take Cup over Puka if you were just making me choose a guy for fantasy. And clearly, we're not going to make the cheat sheet do that because we're not going to break the ADPs again, man. The cheat sheet's not ranked
100% of the time.
it's leveraged against ADP, man. But we're gonna get a lot of Cooper Kupp, dude, in PPR at least. I wouldn't say 100%. We didn't get him on that last sim.
No, I'm saying if you flipped Kupp with Puka, if you put Puka, Puka's at, you would get him 100% of the time.
Yeah, and then you would be totally out of like the Chris Olave business and all the other. But so you could never do that, right? That's how it works. But we've definitely made that adjustment. And then as far as Kyren, he's like, look, man, I still think Kyren's going to get 17, 18 touches a game, but I think that this team's going to run so much that Corum's going to be like a standalone piece himself, and he thinks Corum looks awesome. I do think though that the ceiling with Kyren is capped, and where he's going right now, you know, Byron says he's not sure he would be comfortable taking him. You know, I mean, he's going now. What, I mean, we have him priced to go. Maybe if he's there in the beginning of the third, we can take him. But by then, dude, he is long gone. Whereas Corum, I think that we have him slotted about. We had him slotted about right this whole time. We've known that he's a professional running back. That if something were to happen to Kyren Williams, and look, man, Kyren's had a foot injury so far. He's not the biggest dude. They really are one for one replacements. And the thing that I've always said, whenever they drafted him, like, dude, Blake Corum, like Kyren Williams, they look alike. They look like they could be brothers. They're the same size. They have similar like facial features. They're like and Byron says that when they're standing next to each other, it's really hard to tell them apart. I think one wears 23, one wears 22. You know, you're looking at twins. If something were to happen to Kyren, man, they've put Blake Corum in there, a professional running back who's going to be in every week. Top 10 kind of option that Kyren would be if Corum wasn't there.
What's better than one Kyren Williams, two Kyren Williams? And that's what they got now with the Rams. That's all I got. The Rams team, I think, is going to be pretty good, but I definitely like where Corum's go. Where is he on your PPR sheet? Cause for me, I moved him up to side by side with Deontay Johnson, who I'm not getting, but right underneath like Xavier Worthy, Austin Eckler. Is that kind of similar where he's going off? I'm probably a little bit higher because
Eckler is in a different stratosphere in PPR than he is in standard, right? Like the ADPs are drastically different. So no, for me, it's like I have Corum in that same area where I have, you know, just like bringing it full circle. It's like the same area that I have another guy that we have some training camp intelligence on. And that, of course, is who we talked about earlier, Mr. Rico Dowdle.